The equivalent of page 27. So we're in Simon Ches. We're looking at Sif Tes. Kodem Shivarach Ya'ayin B'chutei Atzitzis. So before he makes his bracha on the talis, he should check the chutim. Why? Imhem Ksherim. It could be that something got ripped in the middle. Kidei Shalo Yivarach Levatola. His bracha will be a bracha Levatola. So let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, second of the wide lines. Chutei Atzitzis. Gam tzarech levodkom lemala. He says it's not enough to check the chutim, but you have to look and see where the strings go through the hole on each one of the four corners. B'makom ha-nekev. Adak shira. In other words, with regard to chutim, you may have certain chutim that are ripped, and yet the talis is still kosher. But in the case of a nekev, we're talking about the place in which the chutim attached through the nekev. Sham pasul afilu b'nifsach chut echad. Even if one of the various chutim was cut off, then the talis is pasul. And then his bracha will be a bracha of atola. Afal gad v'lav hachi yesh chashach iso. He says, forget about bracha of atola. L'chora, there's a more basic problem. And that is, he's wearing a beged of four knafos, and he doesn't have tzitzis on. If not for the issue of bracha, we would rely on the chazoka that if yesterday they were kosher, today it's kosher. Now we have a mikveh that's 40 saw, and we can assume tomorrow that the mikveh still has 40 saw. And that's chizkas kashrus. But in the case of bracha, mishum chomer delo tisa, we have to be so careful about bracha of atola. That's throughout the Mishnah Berurah. He's always super duper careful about bracha of atola. That's why, you know, he'll always tell you to eat a piece of bread with whatever you think is a suffering, you know. He's there for chmiru lebodko. So the machayv b'dika is the bracha and the chshash of the violation of tisa, not the problem with the tzitzis themselves. Even though you and I would have said, well, he's wearing a beged without tzitzis, and it's four knuffos. That's a real serious problem. But he says that problem is solved by the chazaka. But in brachas, we don't rely on the chazaka. Now here you see something fascinating. I call it almost gavrin chefetza. It's like a brisk alumnus here, because l'chora, the same chazaka that tells you that the talis is kosher, and therefore you don't have to worry so much about checking the neck of the chutim, except for the bracha problem. That chazaka should operate with regard to the bracha as well. If the talis is kshera, and I'm not in violation of the iser of wearing a talis without tzitzis, then the bracha should be a bracha kshera. But the answer is that this chefetz and this gavra. You know, as far as the chefetz is concerned, the chazok is one din, but chazoka works in a different way when it comes to the maisa gavra, the action of a bracha vatola. Here there's no such thing as a chazok. You can't say, well, I'm going to make a bracha and I'm going to assume it's a perfectly valid bracha because of the chezkas hatalis. Logically, it's interdependent. You know, if the talis is kshayr, then the bracha ipso facto is kshayr. But as far as the halachas of chazaka is concerned, how these halachas operate, there are two different chazakas. There's one chazaka with regard to the beged, but that chazaka is not going to operate with regard to the maisa of reciting Hashem's name. The moment you recite Hashem's name, you're in a situation of a safek of lotisa, and therefore you have to be absolutely convinced in a vada, in certainty, that you're not making a bracha levatol, you're not violating lotisa. Now, again, you might say, well, let's fall back on the chazaka if we don't have an option. And that's true. We would introduce and rely on the chazaka if we don't have an option. But here we have a simple option of a bedikah. Like, for example, the Gemara has in Pesachim. Were you with me when we learned Pesachim?
Part of it.
So if you remember, there's a sugi over there on Daf. Where is it? Daf Gimel? No, Daf Dalet. About Daf Dalet over there. You have Maskev v'socher. On Amud Aleph, the Gemara wants to know whether the socher could rely on the maskir, that the maskir, before he rented out to him, he did a bedikah. So the Gemara says, L'shaile, why don't you just ask him? And the Gemara says, the lesser will come on L'shaile, he's not around to be questioned. But you see that the Gemara requires that you ask him. Normally, we'd say we could rely on a chazaka. The man is a kosher. He's got a house. It's got chametz, and the shas iser chametz already commenced. He would certainly have made his bedikah. But if you have access to him, meaning that all you have to do is ask him, then that's called the makom diyachal levaris asaf. So we don't rely on a chazaka when we can clarify the mitzius itself. And furthermore, he says the chazaka is not a reliable chazaka. Why? Because it's like the case of the mikveh, that every time a person goes into the mikveh, he comes out, he takes out a little bit of water with him. Here too, this is a chazaka grua. It's not really that reliable because asuyim achutim liposek. The nature of chutim is such that they rip. That's the nature of all flesh. Nowadays they have these very strong chutim. You know, you pay a little extra for them. There's valis tzitzis, all different types of tzitzis that you could buy. But even so, the halacha is established that we have to check out tzitzis, and we don't rely on the chazak. L'chein tzarech livdok b'chol yom b'bokik shalovshom. Before he puts on his tzitzis, he should check them. And I'm going to assume that this applies not only to the talis gadol, but also to the talis katan, because once again... maybe not. It depends whether he's making a bracha. Oh, we haven't really come to any conclusion about whether he's making a bracha on his talis katan in a case where it's going to take him a long time until he's going to put on the talis gadol. Like, let's say, for example, I'll give you an extreme case. He's going to wear his talis gadol mincha time, let's say on Tisha B'av, and he puts on a talis katan in the morning. Should he make a bracha? So let's assume, again, you can fight me on this tooth and nail, but let's assume, for argument's sake, that he'll make a bracha in such a case, because he can't wait until the afternoon. Or maybe it's a case where he knows he's going to have to take off his talis katan before he puts on a talis katan, or a case where he won't even wear a talis katan, he doesn't have one. For whatever reason, he's a single guy, or he's married, but he doesn't have access to his talis katan. So in all these cases, he's going to make a bracha on a talis katan, and he also has to check them. Maybe it's less severe, less of a requirement according to the Mishnah Berurah to check in a normal case where you're not making a bracha, because you're going to make the bracha later on in the talis gadol. But in a situation where you're not going to be making a bracha on the talis gadol, and you're going to make a bracha on the talis katan, the nusach bracha changes a little bit, but still a bracha with Shem Hashem, you're going to have to make a bedikah. V'oz, afshe hi siron, v'hisiat daita mehen, after tzarech brachik shechozer velovesh, afilochi ain't tzarech lasu velivdok. Question is the following. What happens in a situation where a person has to make two brachos on the same talis, on the same day? How so? He took off his talis with a hesech hadas. You know, there's a big machlok saposkin when he goes into the washroom. Let's assume that going into the washroom is not a hesech hadas, but there are other situations where it's a hesech hadas. He has no plan whatsoever to put it on, or he's going to put it on a lot later. Now he has to make a second bracha. Says the Mishnah Berurah, this is a big kula. He does not have to check his talis. In other words, in this case, the chazaka is reliable. Why? What sets up the chazaka? His first bedika. Once his first bedika sets up the chazaka, and that continues for a certain period of time. I mean, again, we're afraid that asuyim chutim liposek, but not within a short period of time. Over the course of a day, maybe, then you have to worry about asuyim chutim liposek, you don't rely on the chazaka. But here, within an hour or so, whatever the time period is, we can rely on the chazaka.
Same as if you check it the night before.
No? As though?
If you check it the night before,
right,
it should be fine as well.
I don't know, look at his language. He says, "Bizman mu'ot," because I think he's talking like within an hour, maybe even a half hour. Eino rogel liposek v'samchina nachazoka. Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying that overnight, why would he get ripped? He's not even wearing it. Ah, excellent. That's a good point. So if a man is in a big rush, you know, he's making a plane in the morning, he should check his talus and save himself those few seconds the night before. That's a good idea. He says, "Afilu ba'boker im al yedei abdika yisbatel tefila b'tzibur." Even though lechatchila we're very anxious that he does this bedika, but in a case where he's going to miss tefila b'tzibur because that extra minute or two, you know, the shatz is moving at the speed of light, I wonder if kedusha itself would be enough. Let's say the shatz is about to get up to kedusha. If he starts checking checking his talis, especially if he does that at home, he'll get delayed by a minute or two, he'll miss Kedusha, maybe that's enough. He says, in such a case, Yochel Lilbosh Talis Beli Bedika, he can wear his talis, and forego the Bedika, Vafilu Ok Shekro Lalos the Torah. In other words, we're not going to delay the Tzibur and say, let's wait. I've seen this, you know, people, they pick up a talis after they got an aliyah, and they start checking the talis. You know, it's like the shul's talis or something.
But you don't make a bracha. It's mostly kosher.
Right. So he's saying that even if you would make a bracha on it, let's say, for example, it was your talis and you'd have to make a bracha, in this case, you would not do a bedika. You would not do a bedika because it's holding up the tzibur. And they're waiting for you to make the berachas haTorah. The Hushi Yodesh Ayu Achutim Shlemim Esmol. Now he adds a caveat, a proviso for all the above kulos. You know, he had a kula in the case where he took it off for a short period of time and he's putting it back on. He had a kula in the case where he's getting called up to the tzibur for an aliyah, or for a case where he's going to miss up on two of it. See, all these cases, he says, that's Yodesh Achutim Shlemim Esmol. Yesterday he made a bedika. If he didn't make a bedika yesterday, then, if he's making a bracha today, he has no chazaka to rely on. And I think he's suggesting that under these circumstances, he should forego tefillah b'tzibur. Now, that in and of itself is a gigantic chiddush, but what are we going to have now? Now they called him up for an aliyah b'torah, and the talis hasn't been checked in a day, meaning yesterday it wasn't checked as well. We're going to hold up the entire tzibur. I don't know. I'm thinking out loud. Maybe in such a case, he shouldn't wear a talis. Maybe we should allow him to get an aliyah without a talis. Because tircha de tzibura, to hold up a tzibur, is a big thing in halacha. Then he writes to me, komakom nochala ayin ktsas my deafshar. We could do a flimsy, superficial, very quick bedika in order not to hold up the tzibur. V'imshal talis me'acher la'alos la'torah t'minageinu shalo levarech olav. Or I think the same thing would apply to a talis shel beis ha'kneses. We don't make a bracha. Is ein tzarech lebad kol klal. Then we can rely on chazaka. Even though the chazaka is not so reliable, but it's fine. Why? Because he's not making a bracha. Now the implication of the Mishnah Berurah is that if it's his own talis, he didn't borrow it, he's going to be making a bracha. So imagine on Mincha on Shabbos, right? So he made a bracha on his talis in the morning. Now he's going to make another bracha if it's his talis to get an aliyah for Mincha. So if that be the case, then l'chora he has to check the talis, unless he checked it yesterday. So if he checked it yesterday and the people are waiting for him, then let him just make the bracha if he has a chance to look at the tzitzios for a few seconds and forego the bedika. But again, I think this is all this is conditioned on the fact that yesterday he checked his tzitzios. The imbarak atalsk sheheser also me olav inicho bekiso shalo ain tzarch lachs. Oh, this is what you were talking about, baking a bedika at night. He doesn't address that case, but here's the case. He checks his talis at the end of his davening and he hides it in his zechel. Meaning it's not going to have any exposure until tomorrow. Now he says, Ein tzarch lachzar ulebodka lemachar. Shemesatipo. It sounds to me, tell me if you think I'm right, that the Mishnah Berurah is paskening that here's a case where you're going to make a bracha on a talis without checking it. And the answer is that since you checked it last, it was locked up in your zekel. Is that what he's saying? Let's read it again. The imbadak atalis kishehisa somi olav, the nicho bekiso shalo, ain't tzarch lachzu levodka lemachar. Now, why does the Mishnah Berurah add lemachar? I would say even a week later. Let's say as a Shabbos talis. He checked in on one Shabbos, locked it up, he zipped it up in his zekel, and he's not going to take it out until next Shabbos. it would seem to me that that in such a case, ein tzarich lachzor lebodka, even though it's a week later, even though he's going to make a bracha. I don't know. Am I pushing the envelope too far? He does use the word lebacher, so that gets me
right, scared. So, yeah, I mean, there's a less likelihood of that.
I mean, Baruch Hashem, what's going to happen to these chutim if he waits a week until he takes that out of the zekel? Are we afraid of mouse? That seems to me pretty far out. Let's say he puts a lock on it, you know. All right, so Achim, I mean, I'm just saying the language of Mishnah Berurah is a little bit confusing to me because he says lemachar.
Right, so
maybe he's just talking about the normal case.
Right, so they can answer when people have lockers, so they're locked.
That's right.
Anointed,
so, you know, until you get to this last line, you get very nervous about this Mishnah Berurah. You see how much over and over again he's emphasizing the need for a bedikah. And even in those cases, those rare three cases where he has an exception to the rule, either because he's going to miss tefillah b'tzibur, he doesn't want to hold up the tzibur, even there he adds the proviso that it was checked yesterday. So again, you know, the thrust of what he's saying is to put all the emphasis on b'dikah. Then you read the last line in this whole thing, and all of a sudden the whole picture changes. Because what do we do with that talis after we finish? We put it back into the zekel. The only thing that bothers me here is he says that bodak atalis kshehesir oso me'olav. It sounds to me, again, I'm being very the literalist approach here, reading the words, that he did two bedikas on the talis. He did a bedika before he made the bracha, and he did another bedika when he took off the talis. Because otherwise, why does he add v'im bodak hatalis k'sheheser or something? Those words are completely superfluous. He could have just said im heser satalis v'nicho b'kiso, then he's good to go. No, he made a second bedika in the Sharatzi, and he quotes the Magen Avraham, he quotes the Prima Gadim. I mean, we would have to do more research on this, but it sounds to me, you know, we're talking about a case of somebody who's in a rush and he has to catch a plane, has to daven fast, he doesn't want to have this extra burden of checking four tzitzios and checking all four nekavim. He might be advised that when he takes off his talis the day before he puts it back into his zekel, he should do another check, another bedika. Okay. Now, what we're up to is Sif Yud, which is on the bottom of the last page, on the previous page. And we're talking about Lovesh Talis Katan Bi'od She'ein Yadav Nekios. We wake up in the morning, and the first thing he does is, he says Modani, and then he puts on his Talis Katan, but his hands are still not washed. Then Yil B'Shenu B'lo Bracha. He's not allowed to make a bracha when his hands are filthy. That makes sense. Ukshayitol Yadav. Now what's going to happen? He's going to wash his hands, but he's already wearing the talis. And we have a principle in Birchas HaMitzvah that called Mitzvah School of Baruch Leim over Lasiyasa. Now it's no longer over Lasiyasa. He needs another mice, another pu'ula, so that his bracha is over Lasiyasa, comes before the Asiyah. What happens now? He put on his talis. Says the Mechaber, Ukshayitol Yadav, after he washes his hands, and now he has Yadayim Nekiyos, is Yamashmesh B'tzitzis. If he holds on to his tzitzis, Yavarech Olav, he can make a bracha. Why? Because he's wearing the tzitzis, and when he's Mamashmesh B'tzitzis, that's like a Maisa Mitzvah. That's unique about the mitzvah of tzitzis. There are a few others that fit this category, that the mitzvah is an ongoing mitzvah. But usually when it's an ongoing mitzvah, that's b'shev v'altaseh, you're passive. So you set up a situation, you're wearing a talis, you're wearing a tefillin, but you're not doing anything actively. You achieve the kiyum with every passing second. Then you're in trouble. How do you make a brach on that? And the solution is to find some sort of a maisa that you could do, which is called mishmush, yamashmesh b'tzitzis. says the Mishnah Berurah of the Bazei Yechashiv Ktsas Ki Lov Shal Oz. It's as if he's repeating a new Maisa Levisha. So therefore, even though we need overlas Yosan, now it's different because. No. So he's asking a different question. We can justify the bracha before the mishmash, but how do we justify the fact that he put on the talis without making a bracha? We never do a mitzvah without making a bracha. We'll delay the mitzvah until such time as we can make the bracha. So if your hands are not clean, don't put on the talis. Wait until you wash your hands. No, says the mishmash, you could put it on. And this is not considered a beetle of the halach of over lasiyos, and that requires you to make the bracha before the asiyah, because here he's a gavra de lo chazni. Now, when do we say that you're absent? You know, absent a bracha, you're violating that mitzvah bracha. That's only because you're a bar hachi, you're capable of making the bracha. In other words, you're in a situation where you lend yourself to make a bracha. Your body lends itself to make a bracha. But if you're in a situation where your body doesn't even lend itself to make a bracha, that's called a gavra de lo chazni. Then we're not going to say that, you know, you can't do the mitzvah without a bracha. So this is fantastic, because what this means is that any time I have to do a mitzvah and I can't make the bracha, and I become a gavra de lo chazi, I'm going to implement the mitzvah, right? Do the maisa mitzvah without a bracha. Well, let's think if we can come up with any cases.
Many years ago, Rabbi and I had gone to a lot of people put on tefillin before the Zman. So at the end of the davening, the Rav said, you make the bracha and you move it to
Nashmish with tefillin.
Yeah.
Right.
And it was life.
I'm wondering if there are any other mitzvahs, though, where you leave out the bracha. Let's say, for example, a ger. A ger is coming to Miskayer, he has to jump into the mikvah. He can't make the bracha because he's not a ger yet. After he makes the bracha, it's over las yasa. He's already done the mitzvah of gerus, and he hasn't made a bracha. So maybe there also you could say he's a gavra lo chazi, you know, he's not chayiv in the bracha. Again, in the kiyus, you could have a million and one cases. You know, you're about to make a bracha on the lulav, but your hands are not clean. You want to be mafresh truma or chala, and your hands are not clean. But I was just wondering if we can find another twist to gavra lo chazi, you know, like the case of a ger. What else? Let me just think if we could come up with another case. So you're saying it's mechusar zman. I mean, because it's before the zman of the mitzvah. Why is he putting on tefillin in that case? Why doesn't he just wait till it's a zman tefillin? There must have been some pressing reason. All right.
Because people were accustomed to putting on tefillin.
Yeah. I know. For example, recently I was very into Vasikin. For a period of time, I was in North Miami Beach. They have a shul there called Kihilos Yisrael. No, I'm not getting it right. Anyway, so in that shul, which is primarily a Hasidish group, they're very makbid on Vasikin. Kal Hasidim, it's called. That's what it's called. Yeah, Kal Hasidim. It's on 10th Avenue and I think it's 174th. And I was noticing that it was very interesting that people in the minyan would not put on the tefillin until a certain time. So they would get a jump start in the davening, and maybe they would say karbonos, because again they had to get to Kriyat Shema at the right time to finish Kriyat Shema and synchronize it with Vasikin, with Hanet. But they wouldn't put on their tefillin.
Well,
they waited until a certain time to put on the tefillin. And then they made a bracha on it.
That's kind of odd. I never encountered that. I used to daven Gates, but not in Florida. But it was never a case, you know, we start davening like 20 minutes before Gates. It's always after
right.
The shop.
Here people were coming in much earlier for whatever reason, and it was before the Zman of Tefillin. So they waited to put on tefillin until they got a little closer to.
Yeah, I'm diving at Earl Minyanim and so they ideally the people say finishing Sukkot the Zimra then put the tefillin.
But then you've seen such a thing.
Yeah, but then but there are people that in the middle of. Do beforehand, but
even before this is man for
not to wait till finishing,
right? I mean, you have to decide when is. I mean, obviously, there's plenty to learn about that in the Mishnah Berurah, but when is the best time to make a bracha? Should you wait to make a bracha till a little bit later, but then maybe the bracha is going to be a hefsek? Or should you do it during Pesukah Nezimah, but then it's Hefsek and Pesukah Nezimah? Yeah, you have to do what I call triage. You know?
Right. And how? I was having it also. How? It's different. The Kehillah and the Shalek Sibor putting on tefillin. Because
you don't want to hold if the, so, the shots is going to hold up.
So I think the kilo should put on tefillin after Yishtabah, but the shatz does it before.
And then he'll be mashbish and he'll make a bracha at that time.
Yeah, but I think that's how Mishnah Berurah says. But I remember Rav Rishon insisting that the Shalek Sibor also do it after.
Well, wait a second. Is everybody in the tzibur at that point putting on the tefillin?
Yeah, I think so.
So what's the loss if the tzibur will do? I mean, it is.
I think the one possibly against the Mishnah.
No, I'm saying the Mishnah Berurah in that case would advocate that the shatz should put on his tefillin earlier.
I think before.
Why? I mean, he's not holding up the tzibur if everyone's taking that break.
It's like Muslim on Rosh Hashanah.
All right, let's go on in the Mishnah Berurah. So again, we're talking about a case where he puts on his talis katan and his yadayim are not nikios, and he's going to be mamashmei should make the bracha. Okay, now we're on the top line here on page 28 in the Mechaber. Oh, kshayildash talis acher yivarech olav yivchaim liftar gam ezeh. Now I would assume that talis acher would, in the classic situation, mean a talis gadol. Right? We're not talking about Rav Scheinberg, Zichron Levracha, who would wear 64 pairs of tzitzis. We're talking about you and I. Why is he going to put on a second talis? I think he's referring to the talis gadol. So this is your classic way of making a bracha on the talis katan without actually making the bracha on the talis katan, by making the bracha on the talis gadol. V'yachavein liftar gam ezeh. Now, how critical is the Mechaber's condition here? That you have intention to that your brach shvichal also on the talis kota. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah, he writes in Chavdad v'chein v'hochi nog b'zmanenu levarich al talis kota chavin liftor b'zeh talis kota v'hochi onif tfei mimash enogim eis enoshim shvarich al talis kota and take up a varich al talis gadol. That's really not a good idea. To make two brachas on two different talisos simultaneously almost, or immediately one after the other. That's like if you have two animals to shech, and instead of making one bracha for both animals, you make a separate bracha for each animal. That's called a bracha shenitzricha. It's totally unnecessary. But he implies that the problem really arises because tekef, immediately he's going to make a bracha on the talis kotel. Why then did he make a bracha on his talis kotel? It was totally unnecessary. But if it wasn't tekef, I would underline that word taken, then you're justified and maybe even required to make two brachas. We owed afilum yafsig zman. Oh, that now I think he's addressing our question. Afilum yafsig zman merubah benatalis katan la gadol kama pa'omim ein roi levarech olav. Why? Di ein pasuach rubo odu katan me'ashira mavur lekama besima tezayin Odu Yoshim Bo Balayl. Now this really confuses me. He's talking about someone, and it's a minig apparently amongst many people, or Ezad Noshim he calls them, that they make two brachas. one of the talis kotna, one of the talis kotna. So if they're doing a takeif, then for sure that's unacceptable. But even if they'll be mafsik, he says that's not acceptable. Why? Because a kama pa'amin. Now that makes no sense to me. What do you mean kama pa'amin? Okay, in those kama pa'amin, you know, you'll be well advised and instructed not to make a bracha on the talis kotna because it's not pasuah rubo, or because it's smaller than the shear. Or he slept in his talis kotna the whole night, you know what I mean? And therefore, there's no problem over here for him to make a bracha. On the contrary, he has to make a bracha. But I don't understand why the Mishnah Berurah formulates this as a critique against those people who make these two brachas, one on the cut and one on the gadol, with a hefsek between them. Because the kama pa'amim are the exception to the rule. They know chinami, if I slept through the whole night with my beged, I'm not going to make a bracha on the talis katan. And if my talis katan is smaller than the shear, I'm not going to make a bracha on my talis katan. But I have a gigantic talis katan, so why shouldn't I make a bracha on the talis katan? Ah, you're going to make a bracha on the talis gadol? That'll be in a few hours' time. So I'm not sure the language of the Mishnah Berurah here baffles my mind.
There's no parallel at all to eating cereal. You have one bracha. Two different things, and one of the tofu to the other. So we can say here that the talikatim is tofu to the tofu.
I would say that if it has dalad kanfis and it has a shear, then it's, why is it tofel? Again, you have the sheet of the Rabbeinu Yonah that has to be kedei ituf. So you might want to say as a hider mitzvah, I have to be worried about Rabbeinu Yonah. And maybe our talis katan is not, you know, the talis katan for sure covers all bases. You know, everybody would agree that that's kashir, you could wrap your whole body around. But again, the Mishnah Berurah is not objecting to making a bracha on the talis katan because you're not yotze the mitzvah. Of course, if you're not yotze the mitzvah, it's smaller than the shear, then the Mishnah Berurah knows very well, and he says it explicitly, that you don't make a bracha on such a talis. But he's implying that if you had a talis katan which was gadol enough, in other words, it had the shear, then it does deserve a bracha, and thus that bracha will be covered by the bracha on the talis gadol. But now we're talking about a case where it was a hefsek zman meruba. If it's a hefsek zman meruba, how could the bracha on the talis gadol help you lamafreya for the talis katan? So I don't understand why he's objecting to this minhag. If he's just trying to comment that, you know, if we allow this minhag to go wild, you know, to what's it called in on the internet when something goes virtual, is that what they call it? No, not virtual.
Viral.
You know, if this minhag goes viral, then there are going to be situations in which that automatically they make the bracha on the talis katan when they're not supposed to be making it. So maybe he's saying we have to worry about this minhag because people won't differentiate between one scenario and another scenario. They'll always, like in a matter of a knee-jerk response, they're going to be making a bracha on a talis katan. We can't let that go on. There are so many situations in which we don't make a bracha on a talis katan.
Wasn't the
Mishnah
Berurah argued that the talis katan is not really a
beged? I don't know about the Mishnah Berurah. I know my Rebbe was very machbin on a talis katan. He was opposed to this minhag that a single fellow should not wear a talis katan. He thought that's a bitul mitzvah say because the Rabbeinu Yonah, and I don't know which other Rishonim agree with Rabbeinu Yonah, hold that unless it's kedei ituf kol, you know, rov gufo, then he's not yotzi the doraisa mitzvah. Again, the Rabbanan set up other shiurim, but on a doraisa level, he's not yotzi. So imagine you're taking a single fellow and you're being mafkir him from a mitzvah doraisa. And that for the rest of his life if he's not married. I mean, I don't have to point out people right here in our base measure who are in the late 40s and maybe even the late 60s and they never got married. So there's a fellow here in the base measure. I mean, he was here in the morning for the Shia. I assume he's still here now. He comes to some of my classes. And I see him every Shabbos. He doesn't wear a talis. means he never got married. And he's a man older than me, which is pretty old, you know. I don't want to tell you how old that is, but I just had another birthday. So you really, in a sense, my Rebbe, I don't know about the Rebbe, I simply don't know, but I can tell you about my Rebbe, Rabbi Yashaber. He was very nervous about this minhag, and he thinks it's a mistake. What do you mean it's a mistake? It's based on a Gemara in Kiddushin. I think it was Rav Kahana. They told him when he comes, you know, they spoke about him as a Gav Rabba. They said, when he comes, show him to me, you know, bring him up to the front. We want to check out this guy. And they noticed he wasn't wearing a turban. So they started shrying Chai V'Kai, means he never got married. And this you call a Gav Rabba, a man who never got married. But that's a turban. It doesn't say anything about a talus. Not only that, even if you tell me that you make this analogy between a talus and a turban, so then tell the single guy not to cover his head with the talus. Better that he should wear a talus without ivur gav than not to wear a talus at all. My children all wore talisim from the time they were bummies. And I'm not a yeki, you know.
And it's fine.
Like the Sfarim. Now, for some of my kids, it was a little uncomfortable for them because their friends were not wearing talisim, and they were. I told them that's what we're going to do. All right, let's go on because we don't have that much time here. But we're going to look now at Sif Yud Aleph in the Mechaber. In the second line, he says, "Iker mitzvah talis katan lelov show al begadav." This is the Mechaber, and it's a very unique reading of the pasuk, because the pasuk says Uri'isem Oso, and the Mechaber is interpreting that Uri'isem Oso is a reference to the Beged. I would have said Uri'isem Oso is a reference to the tzitzis, not to the Beged. And the nafka mina is whether or not he's obligated to wear his beged outside his body. So let's learn the Mishnah Berurah on this. This is a very, very important question here. And you've seen the minhag to wear it on the outside. In Hasidic circles, it's very common amongst Bachrim, you know, that Bachrim will do this. Marrieds, I don't know how often you'll see it.
Occasionally.
Ubiksavim Isa, again, he keeps quoting this book called the Ksavim. I'm not sure who wrote that book. Anyway, the talis katan tachas begodav. So we have now a machlokas between Rav Yosef Kara, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ksavim, the author of the Ksavim, whoever that is. The Kosav Magen Avram, the Alkol Panim Tzor Shiyu at Tzitzis Mibachutz. Okay, that I understand. Because even if I accept the sheet of the Ksavim, that's as far as the beged is concerned. But as far as the tzitz is concerned, kuliyamol pleading for sure, that's the minimum of v'risim oso. V'lo kinek she'tofim oso ba'knofos. There are those who will fold up and hide their tzitzis, I'm talking about the strings, inside the knofos. So then already you'd be mafkia v'risim oso, because at the very least, v'risim oso applies to the tzitzios. He says it's not likuva, and therefore if you're going amongst goyim and you don't want to keep your tzitzis out, that's okay. In other words, you got to get the bracha being chal on the mitzvah. So even if you're not going to be mekayim the words of the Mechaber of Kedesha, Tamid Yireihu V'Yizkar Mitzvahs, because he's going amongst goyim and therefore he's going to tuck in his tzitzis, but Chach at the time, forget about the Tamid, you know, the Tamid Yireihu, we'll be mevatel on the Tamid Yireihu for the sake of goyim, you know, presence of goyim, but we're not going to be mevatel on the mitzvah itself when you make the bracha initially. At that point, it's got to be exposed. It can't be hidden at that point. So the way I understand this Mishnah Berurah is that he learned the Mechaber saying that this halacha of Re'isim also is likuva. It's absolutely indispensable. Now let's see the Mishnah Berurah Chafav Yireihu. K'mod Ksiv Re'isim also is chartem. The Yosan Hashem Asim Tzitzit Metnasayim Shalahem Lo Daishem Alimim Einehem Mimaydech Sim Risim Oso Zchartem Od Mevazim Heim Es HaMitzvus Asinim Heim Litin Es HaDin Al Zeh. Now again, where does the Mechaber know this? I mean, it says Reisim also, but that doesn't mean that you have to see them. It means that you could see them. And not only that, the Torah is just giving you a reason for the mitzvah. The Torah is not defining the essence of the mitzvah. So if you take a look in what's called the Be'er Agola Os Mem, he says it's based on the Torah, and then Ruki Yosef is basing it on the Ritva. See, you're talking about like really late Rishonim. You know, the Ritva was a contemporary, if I'm not mistaken, of the Ran. You know, you're talking about a couple of centuries into the Rishonim. I mean, where are the? Why isn't this appear somewhere in a Mishnah or in a Brisa or in a Sugya? Mm-hmm. You know, the Pashup Shadu Risim Oso Zchartem is a separate Kiyum, or maybe it's a Kiyum Shebelev. You know, that embellishes the mitzvah, but certainly it's not Likufa. The Mishnah Berurah is saying that the Osid Liten is Adin, and he says Masha Omer Shal Chumen Anachrim Lazel Yedai Shiyasimu Atzitzis B'Toch HaKanaf. And what are they doing? I don't understand. What's the mitzvah here? They're putting it into their slacks.
So it's not.
What does it mean? How you die? She is simatz. It's betoch hakanof. What is that?
By the pas, the reason or something. It's not sufficient just at the time of by Kriya Shema.
Well, again, the Mechaber is basing on these sources called the Ritva, called the Mugi Yosef, the Tur, that there's got to be Tomid. That's the key word, is Tomid. That constantly he's wearing his tzitzis and he's seeing his tzitzis. I don't know if I answered your question. What was your question again?
It's not just sufficient at that time.
Right, Tomid. So he stayed. And the Mishnah Berurah is accepting this. He's not blinking about this. But I don't understand what he means. I'll read the next line if that maybe would shed a light. He says, Ilu hayolem ezidoron mimelech basav adam shechaku kol of shem ha-melech kamayim iskashtim bo lefnei anoshim ton. So he's giving us a Musa Shmuz. What merit do you have to survive all the way till the Mashiach Zeiten? And the answer is because you were Mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis behitz tainut, you know, with perfection. K'mod echsiv uba asora anoshim mikol lishonos hagoyim v'echziku b'knaf ish Yehudi. V'yomr chazal ze kol azor mitzvah tzitzis zochem eshamshim lo shnei alofim shmonam yos avodim. So what does he mean? How yadai she yasimu atzitzis b'toch hakonof? Let me just see if I can raw mice of this halacha. And my konof is completely sewn up. There's no room to put my tzitzis in here. Yadai she yasimu atzitzis. This is ignorance on my part. I have to.
Where does this come from?
I didn't catch it. Are you in Mishnah Berurah Chavav? Where are you?
I think you just read it.
Just make sure we're all in the same place. If you can calm me down, Mishnah Berurah Chavav, which starts on the bottom right, goes on to that. Yeah. Okay. So we're in Chavav.
I think you just read it.
What are you asking now?
That would be one would be Zohar.
To Shechina?
No, it's Zohar.
To be amongst those who are present. Yeah.
Where does that come from?
I know, he just says Amru Chazal. I'm very disappointed in this Mishnah Berurah. Maybe in the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah he'll tell you where the Psukim come from. If I had access to a computer, I could tell you in a second. So maybe after we finish, okay, we'll spend 2 minutes in the office, we'll look that up. But again, just Teich, what is it? The last line on the right side, how do you just translate the Mishnah Berurah? Am I so dumb that I can't translate the words of the Mishnah Berurah? When he says, Lazeh yadai sheyasimu atzitzis betoch hakonof. Maybe, I'm thinking out loud, that on top of his slacks, he wears a cloak. And inside the cloak, there's an inside pocket. So what he could do is, if he's worried about the goyim, he could take the tzitzis and tuck them into that inside pocket of his cloak. Or maybe on the side of his slacks, he has some sort of... But instead, he puts it inside his pants. That he calls a bizoya. But again, the main line that I want to leave you with here is that he has tremendous emphasis on a whole long harangue, a whole long message was on this requirement of Ureisem Oso as a mitzvah tmidus, and not to put the tzitzis inside your pants. And I think there are zillions of people who put their tzitzis inside their pants, no?
I do. Several years ago when I came to Israel, I had them outside.
I keep them outside for another reason, not because
I didn't like it.
I keep them outside for another reason. Not because of Risa Moso, because I think of Risa Moso you might require the ksharim as well. You know, that's also part of the tzitzis, or maybe the whole beged according to the Mechaber. I think for another reason I keep my tzitzis out, and that is because at the beginning of this Simon, the Mechaber writes that tzorch lahafrid chutei atzitzis zeh mizeh, that you can't have your chutim tangled up together, knotted, so to speak, together. And what I find is that as soon as I put my tzitzis inside my pants, they get all mishkababbled. When I keep them outside, then I'm constantly checking them, you know. And also they hang low, so they're separated one from the other. But again, right now, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't even entertain another possibility other than this Ureisim Oso. And it defines the mitzvah itself. It's so critical. But let's see, do we have time for another 2 minutes? Ikar mitzvah tals katan lelovsho al begadov, right, that we saw. The im yeshlo kama begadov shalar bekanfos kulam chayom mitzitzes. Hence, every single beggar that has four corners has to be equipped with tzitzis. V'im lov shom kula v'lo hefseh, like the case of Shechita, where he's shechting many animals one after the other without any interruption. And ha'yadayta mitchil al kulam lo yivarech el bracha achas. He patters up all the various begadim with one single bracha. But v'im mafsik v'im tzoch l'varech al kol achas v'achas. So the Mishnah Berurah here in Chav Zayin says Kulam Chayom Ratzalom Im Lovsham Kulam Aval Im Unachim B'Teva Pturim. It's unbelievable that the Mishnah Berurah feels compelled to add this. You know, the Mandiomer in the Gemara called Tzitzis Chovas Mana, but we don't pass like that. So he feels compelled to add that. Mafsik Beinayim Ha'inu Behefseik Gadol. Or how much of a hefseik would require a second bracha? Shehu bechal hesech hadas. Av shehi azman ma, pasuk magen Avram, ushari achronim, lekaman simon reish vav, deshtika, loch shive hefsek bidi evet. He says the following. The definitions are not absolutely clear. He's saying this one thing called hefsek gadol, and that requires hesech hadas. Then he has shehiyas van ma, and then he has shesika lo chshiva hafsaka b'di'evet. So what's he saying? Shesika lo chshiva hafsaka b'di'evet. Even if there was a hesech hadas, even if there was a hefsek gadol, I don't know. You know, it's like Pasach Bekad Vesim Bechavis. He starts and opens up with one position, and then he seems to backtrack. Vafilim Shah Harbe Yosim Mekidei Dibur. Vafim Sachmeng Taim. And the dibur is not letzof levisha, kagon shomer tenuli beged lilbosh. All right, that's letzof levisha. Is pshita di ain tzarech lachzor ulevarech. What's he saying now? Ah, so again, if it's only dibur and it's a dibur letzorech levisha, then for sure he doesn't have to make a aval imu lo ayol letzof levisha. So he says, pass the salt. Yesh Deus Ben Amposk V'das HaMechav L'Kamon V'Sif Yud Gimel Magen Avram V'Avi Achronim Shaposkim Kehaposkim. We accept the sheet of the Poskim that filu Sicha V'Alma Gam Kein Havi V'Chlal Hefsek L'Inyin Zeh. So if he interrupts with a Dibur, with a Sicha that has no relevance to the Tzitzis or to the Beged, then it's called a hefsek, and he's going to have to make another brach. Avol yesh min achronim sheposkim the kevan the yesh sovrim bazeh the ain tzarech lachzor levarech. Tavi kmo shesach b'yem tzasu the mutav shlo lachnis atzma sofik bracha. So he should avoid any sort of talking and speech between one begin and the other. And he says on the next page, he says, "V'chein hiskim aprima gadim l'chein yizor kolodim shalol asuach v'yim diber enom choser mavarech kol shkein shizor shalol yafzik hefzik gadol diosu ligrom bracha shenitzricha kel kamon." Okay, I'm going to make a note that we got up to here. And Blinetta will pick this up next time. This is a big Simon test. Look how long it goes. But it's very geschmack. A lot of love. Thanks, good.